It's Vikings Purple Past on The Fan.
Bumps it out to the left to the 15. Sprints inside the 5. Touchdown!
Now, celebrating the great past years of Vikings football, here's The Fan's Mark Rosen.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Purple Past. Mark Rosen, your host again on this Tuesday night, and we have a very special guest, and special for lots of reasons, a man who's been immersed with his Viking organization since he was drafted here back in 1974, second-round pick, Matt Blair, who was born in Hilo, Hawaii. And of all the interviews that I've done, I'm not quite sure I've ever had one quite like this, because, Matt, where exactly are you right now?
Well, I'm in Hawaii right now. It's off the shores of Hilo, but I'm on the other side of Kona side, and I'm just sitting here on the a boat. We're whale watching right now.
You're whale watching. I mean, this is the life.
Mark, you should come over here sometime.
I've been to Hawaii a number of times. For I had some good friends who grew up there, and I know the area, but. I can just imagine with your camera in place, probably waiting to get some spectacular pictures.
You know me well, don't you?
I really do, Matt.
My camera is like right on my lap here, and just trying to enjoy it with my wife and I, and we're just taking it all in.
Well, tell us, this road you took. How many years did you spend in Hawaii before your family moved? Of course, you ended up going to college at Iowa State. So I'm thinking, trying to connect the dots here from. High school, okay. Before that, how did you get from Hilo, Hawaii to the Midwest?
Okay, well, actually, I was born in Oahu, which is the main island.
Right.
Okay, and then Triple Hospital, my dad's in the service, so from there, we stayed there for a couple of years, and from there, we left, and my sister was born in Alaska, stayed in Fairbanks for about 3 years. There, you know, we went down to, went to Spain, and then we stayed in Pennsylvania, we stayed in Kentucky, we stayed in Texas, we're down in San Antonio, and then as I ended up back, the last place I ended up was in Ohio to finish my high school career. I was coming in as a junior, and I went out for the football team, because the reason I went out, Mark, I needed a scholarship to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went out for every team they had there, and I just knew, and so I did okay in football, did okay in basketball, baseball, and ran track. And then my senior year I came back and did the same thing and, made All-City and honorable mention, All-State. And then it was time to select what school to go to, and I didn't have a school that asked me to come to participate in their football program. So... that's what happened.
Yeah.
That's what happened. And then from there, I tried on at a school down in Oklahoma, and they gave me a scholarship half year for football. And then I went up for the basketball team, got the other half, and that's how I supported myself to get through school. And then I got discovered by a lot of... My freshman year, I grew 3.5 inches and gained about 40 pounds. When I came back to school, I was really big, and coaches... And I didn't start when I was a freshman, though. Did not start.
Mm-hmm.
And the coach said, you can start now. You're big enough. And so, I narrowed down to either Florida State or Iowa State. And the Florida State coach said, you got the job. And I said, I heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided, if Johnny Majors, Iowa State said, Matt, you come there, you're going to have to work for it. And I said, well, that's me. I'll work for it. And that's why I went to Iowa State. And from Iowa State, of course, I went there and things started to open up for me there, and I got injured my senior year, and then I was a full-time player in the Sun Bowl my junior year, so I decided that, maybe football's where I wanted to go in the NFL, and it wasn't on my ticket at the time, but now the people saying, you can go there.
By the way, if a blue whale goes by, you got to let us know, and we can just only imagine what you're waiting for right now. If you've seen anything, you got to give
I'm looking for the opportunity, but we haven't seen anything but dolphins this morning.
Oh, I feel bad for you.
We're on our way. We're on our way back now.
So
yeah. So, but anyway, that's where from getting it my senior year, second senior year, and then of course I got the phone call saying, do you want to come to Minnesota, and I said, "Yeah, Coach Brent, yes, I do." And so drafted me in the second round, and I had a German Shepherd at the time, and so we celebrated. My dog and I, we went to Hardee's. I got him a couple burgers, and I had one burger, and we had fun.
You had a relationship that grew leaps and bounds with Bud Grant. Not a guy that was probably all that easy to warm up to initially. I know he had his favorites, and certainly loyalty was a big thing of it. But I always recall that, you know, it probably took a little while from your rookie year until, you know, near the end of your Viking career that was quite the relationship. But tell us about that.
Well, you know, if my rookie year, I tell you what, you're right about that, Mark. Bud was one of those guys that, you know, he didn't say much to the rookies. He didn't say much to the young guys. But if he did, you better listen. And I remember walking at the Mets Stadium, and I got out of my vehicle, and I said, good morning. And he nodded his head. And we kind of walked, you know, the corridor all the way to the locker room. And that's a long walk through the old Met. And I said, oh, man, he didn't say one word to me the whole time. And so I'm going in there like, well, I'm scared. I said, okay, I'm a rookie, you know. It's like, you know, he may say something like, you know, you're cut from the team. And I said, oh, boy, it'd be good here. But I go through, and then, you know, it goes through the, you know, over the years, you know. And I remember my rookie year again, we're playing the Dolphins, and I made a bad play on a play pass. And Zonka... And it was greasy to kick on a play pass, and I got beat. He took me out of the game. And then he said, and then Eller's telling me, hey, don't worry about this preseason game. I said, Eller, you've been on the team for 10 years. I'm trying to make this team.
Right.
And so Bud took me over and said, do you know what a play pass is now? And I said, yeah, I do. He said, okay, well, don't you ever forget it.
Wow.
And from that point on, Mark, that's where you talk about, you know, someone telling you, you know, that's been there before, that's what it felt like. And I never got beat ever before after that. And it's one of those things that, you know, he makes a point and he brings it out and you just do those things right.
And one of the things you did right, and as well as anyone I think has ever played the game, was block kicks. And special teams was a real important aspect of Bud Grant's teams. I think you ended up with 20 blocked kicks. Am I getting this right? That's you, one individual.
Well, you know,
I
didn't play special teams when I went to Iowa State or you know, it's one of those things that they put you in a position, and you know, Mark, I guess people don't know this, but I played every position on every special team. Even on the kicking game, on field goals, I played that back. That's like it's one of those things that it's an honor, man, because you're a rookie, you're trying to make things work and make this team, and it's like you want to do everything you possibly can, and it just came up that, you know, when I started blocking those punts and kick, that gave me some other energy that I didn't know I had in your system. And how do you develop that? It's because, you know, you want to do things, you want to win, you want to get out there and give your body to win however you can in any phase of the game that you can, and that was one that was just so exciting for me. And then when we started blocking those kicks, now, you got to understand, blocking punts is a little bit different, but blocking kicks, you need help.
Mm-hmm.
And that front four, the famous Purple People Eater guys, they move the ball or move the line back at least, you know, 2 or 3 yards. It gives me another opportunity to run and jump up, and I guess the rules now, it was the Don Shula. He got mad because he was getting his blocks kicked in playoff time, so he was the president of the rules committee, and he decided basically, you know, let's take this running and leaping out of there, and they did, and so they can't do it anymore. I think they should bring that back, and start getting some kicks blocked again.
Yeah, it's a lost art. You don't see it very often at all. I can't remember the last time the Vikings blocked it. Maybe Antoine Winfield, but it's just you don't see it very often anymore. And I think the rule changes, probably, as you mentioned, had a lot to do with that because it's a lost art.
It is a lost art, and they don't have to figure out a way to make it go next time around. And they'll come up a way. I mean, and how we started it was that, you know, we just said, let's just try sending Blair up the gut and try to jump. And so somebody in the NFL will probably figure out a way, or a coach or somebody will say, let's try this method and see if they can make it work. And because I tell you what, that's so exciting when you block a kick, and you know, and it keeps the team from scoring, and it keeps you from gives you a chance to win a game. I mean, that was just fun to do.
We have so much to talk about, Matt. I want to kind of wrap up your part of the playing career with the Vikings right now, and just ask you this question, because you were involved in two Super Bowls, the losses to Pittsburgh and Oakland. As you look back on it, did you feel those teams were better than the Minnesota Vikings? So I've had a couple of conversations with some of your former teammates as you look back, or at that time.
I would say we, for sure, our defense is probably better than their defenses. Our offense, I would say probably we had some talent, but again, I think what took place in most of these different times is that you're playing a game and you really don't get to do your normal studying, your normal routine. You're away from home, and it's like it's not in the same atmosphere as you was in the past. And I think that's the difference in playing in the Super Bowl. And whoever wins that day, you know, it's you know, and that's luck of the draw. You the other team dominates, or the team gets close and they beat you, but on a given other given day, you know, mm-hmm. you'd probably beat them. And I'd say we had a pretty good team, Mark.
I'd say you would as well. Let's take a break. You continue your whale watching on the way back to shore. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and talk about this year's Viking team and what Matt Blair's been up to as well. You're listening to Viking Purple Past here on The Fan. Stay with us. Welcome back to Viking Purple Past. We're having a breezy conversation with the one and only Matt Blair, who's on, some sort of fishing vessel, tourist vessel outside of Hawaii, whale watching after his whale watching, and we're feeling just terrible for him today. Hey, Matt, and I know you have been bleeding purple for your entire life, adult life here. Did you see this coming with this football team? They're 2-11 right now, and I know you played on Steckel's team, the 3-13 team of 84. I remember it all too well, unfortunately. I did the show with Les Steckel that year. But did you see it coming with this team?
You know, I did not see it coming at all. And the reason why I see it that way, because like if you look at the beginning of the season, you look at how they were mostly winning their games until the third, fourth quarter, and then they end up losing the game because teams have come back. And I think that's where that mental side of the game for a lot of these young players and we don't have that kind of like a older veteran type team, but those young players, you know, they have to learn these things. And I look at and watch the game, I just think, you know, some of those guys repeatedly make mistakes after mistakes. And if you're going to play defense, you have to make tackles. You have to make a tackle if you're on defense. It's as simple as that. If you're on offense, you have to catch the ball. You have to make things work in the best way possible so your offense can move. Now, granted, you have Adrian Peterson. I mean, you got some. You have Jarrett on defense. You know those players that they have. They have quite a few guys there that I didn't think they would come to this point. And I mean, they have what, three more games before mm-hmm. if they're going to win, you know, next three, fine. But to for our 3-13 season that we had in 84?
Yeah, 84.
We did not have that talent.
No, not even close. Oh, no. I mean, yet poor Archie Manning was getting beaten up down there in Chicago, yeah. Pummeled to a bloody pulp down there that day. I remember covering that game. So how do you fix this? I mean, I'm in favor of getting another pair of eyes up in the front office. I mean, I'm kind of old school, Jim Finks. You know, I believe in organizations winning championships, and I don't think it's just one guy, one coach, or, you know, but I. You know, it's not necessarily you can't go from last to first, and we've seen teams do it. But organization wise, things have to change a little bit, don't they?
Well, you know, in anybody's mind, if you are a really dedicated player and a dedicated coach or management, it starts at the top. No question about it. You have to start, and who delivers the blow. You know, it comes from the beginning of the progress, and I just know that if that's controlled that way, then it goes all the way down to the bottom. Now, again, you have to look at, you know, Coach Frazier. I mean, this is his first year, but you have to be patient, and I understand that part. They will be better next year, but going through what we're going through, you Mark, you have to have that in certain times in your life. Mm-hmm. We have to learn from it as a fan. We have to learn from it as a player. And you have to take that and you put that into your system. And when that system comes up again, when you're, you know, up 20 points, you have to figure out the right way to make it go. And it, again, it starts from the top. You get the right people in there and the right players in there, and then you go forward. And if you go forward, you will win. But you have to believe it, you have to think it, but you have to work at it.
Yeah. Matt, I want to ask you something, and I know you're in great health, and you've enjoyed your life. You're really into photography, and I don't mean to throw a heavy topic at you, but I know he's a near and dear friend to you, and as he is to me, and you guys grew up together. I'm talking about Fred McNeil, and Fred's in L.A. right now, and I know he's battling some really tough times with early dementia, some things that happened on the football field that have caught up with him, and I know it strikes a chord with you in so many different ways, but what can you tell us about Fred? I read that magazine article in GQ the first time I read it, and I just started crying on the airplane and did not realize the impact that it had felt it for his life. And he came up at the same time you did with the Minnesota Vikings. Can you fill us in on anything new with Freddie and what's happening with him?
Well, you know, yeah, you're right, Mark. You know, Fred and I, we go back at the 74. And he was drafted the first round. I was drafted in the second round. And I always remember that they're going to, they gave Fred all the money, and they're going to keep him for sure. We had five linebackers, and they had one spot to fill. But, you know, it turned out so great that we both made the team, and we became roommates. I mean, we were competing against each other, but we just became roommates. And all those years that we played together and became roommates, and we did a lot of things together, Mark. And he became like a brother to me. After finding that he had this dementia, the one thing that I can't figure out is that, okay, Mark, I had a concussion during the 7-6 playoff game against the Redskins, okay, had my tooth knocked out and hit, banged up, and they took me off the field. Okay, when did Fred ever have that? Never.
No.
That's the part that I cannot understand, but it does happen. You know, he made probably over 900 tackles, you know, and I know probably he didn't tell anybody about it. He probably just didn't share it with anybody. But now he has a dementia that really has affected his life. And knowing that, it's kind of hard to understand as a teammate, as a friend, that you have a position player that, you know, you love to death, and he can't remember the thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's divorced, you know, from his wife, and he gets his driver's license taken away. He gets his lawyer's license taken away because you can't remember things. And that is hard to accept. And you're an athlete, and athletes used to survive and make things work because we know how hard it is to make things work because we work at it. And just knowing that, it touches you so hard in your heart because of what we've done in the past and what we've gone through. So Fred, right now, you know, I get a call from him every now and then, I save some of the calls because, you know, you just don't know if I ever get to talk to him again. Mm-hmm. And that's the hard part. And so given that, I know Fred is, you know, he's doing okay, but he's not great.
Yeah.
But going through what he's going through, it's hard for him. And so my blessings are all out to him, and I'm going to try to see him. I'm trying to see him pretty soon again because I need to check on a few things out there. So but if I get back to you, let you know, I will.
Well, I appreciate that. I know I think it's important to bring up in this next context because there's so many people in that generation, and we don't know the effects. And this is why they're having all these concussion testing done now. I mean, James Harrison was suspended for a game today for his hit on the coil. I mean, this is stuff that you can't take lightly because it is a cumulative effect. And I mean, I know it's affecting a lot of us. And I appreciate your honesty and talking about Freddie. I mentioned at the beginning of the interview your photography. You were the honorary chairman for the Uptown Art Fair. It's become more than a hobby to you, Matt, and I know how important it is. How much fun has that been for you? It's sort of a second career you want to look at, or vocation for you.
If I would have known that this was something that I was good at, I wish I'd have started a long time ago, Mark. After all I've gone through, but I think that we go through life and we look at things and we do things and we learn from what we do. And just taking my camera wherever I went to take photos of different things that I see And it's that eye that you have, you develop, and people say, man, that's good, you got a good eye. And I never knew that, but I just kept shooting. I kept, matter of fact, I practiced taking pictures of my teammates. In fact, you're in some of them too. So, but anyway, I've done that, just practicing and just taking it. I haven't gone no classes. I've learned myself and just learning how to do things. And that's what it is. That's what life's all about, man. You learn from your mistakes. And so I would put the f-stop, you know, a little bit lighter, a little bit less speed, and it comes out a great picture. But the angle and looking at the angle, looking at the lighting, that's so important. And just being part of this year's Uptown Art Festival, Committed for Artists, was so exciting for me. I didn't know that I would even be put in that position ever. And so when I go and, you know, take pictures and I sell the art now, it was just phenomenal. But you know how I got started, Mark?
No.
A homeless guy that my wife and I, we serve a shelter every
right.
Friday night. We serve food every Friday night. We met him there, and he was a painter. He was an artist. I gave him some pictures of mine to paint, and he turned them out to be so great that I, being in the event business, we did an event for him in the shelter to raise some money and to get him out of that shelter, and we did that 2 years ago.
Wow.
That started me to start selling my photos, let people see what I have. I've always kept them within myself. I've always just kept them and showed them to my friends. But then after that, he inspired me to sell my photos to the public.
We got about a minute and a half to go here. Is there one picture, one moment, one thing that stands out in your mind? If you said you had to grab something, one of your favorite pictures or one that stands out?
I guess one of my favorite pictures is in Maui at Haleakala Crater. It's a sunrise that looks like, and it's above the clouds, and it's and you drive up there, and it's spectacular. And it's not Photoshop, but the sun looks like a star.
Mm.
And it is just phenomenal. That's probably my favorite picture because it feels like that you are part of what grace and God has given you to live in this world.
Yeah. Well, mahalo, my friend, and Merry Christmas to you and to all. And I appreciate your time, Matt. It's always good to check up with you, and thanks for your time tonight.
Mark, it's always good to talk to you. You've always been a good friend of ours. Thank you for having me on your show.
All right, the one and only Matt Blair. You've been listening to Viking Purple Past here on The Fan.